You're tuning in to Radio Movies, a special event podcast and collaboration between The Explosion Network, The Pop Culturist, and DashGamer.com. Each week we'll be discussing the films from the Kevin Smith Viewerskew universe, our memories with them, why we love them, and preparing ourselves for the upcoming Jay and Silent Bob reboot. My name is Dylan Blight, and joining me from The Pop Culturist is Ryan Betson.
Hey, man.
And from DashGamer.com, Buddy Watson.
Don't fuck with the Jedi Master, son.
Son. Today, in case you didn't get from that, we will be talking about Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, the first of the Viewerskew universe I ever watched. For the sake of the show, we'll assume that you have watched the movie and we will be talking with full spoilers. So as with every episode, when was the first time everyone saw Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and how do you feel about it from the first time you watched it to today? So as I said, this was the first one I watched it. And I can remember the first time I watched it because for whatever reason, we went to the video store and I got to pick out some movies and I looked at the covers and I picked out Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Not Another Teen Movie because they looked really cool.
No two movies encapsulate such a specific window of time.
Jay and Silent Bob, like ending chapter to this, all these other movies before, of which I had no context of, and Not Another Teen Movie, a comedy that takes the tropes and makes fun of like American Pie and stuff, all a bunch of movies which I had also not seen yet. So it was really an amazing pick of two movies for me to watch. And they're also two movies I remember watching in the lounge room and automatically knowing, because I was like 12, that I should not be watching them. Like if mum found out that dad got me these, I would be in trouble, but also dad would probably be in trouble. You know what I'm saying? These ones were not going to be good ones. I'll say though, rewatching it, it's a very silly movie. It's very much of that time, early 2000s, like the way it's shot, the jokes, literally everything about it just represents a certain period of time. And honestly, out of all of those movies, like if you want to put it in with American Pie and Not Another Teen Movie, whatever, like all those early 2000 ones or whatever, this is the only one I'm quite happy to rewatch because it represents my entry point to Kevin Smith, the Viewerskew universe, everything like that. So I'm willing to admit that I have gold tinted glasses or Kevin Smith tinted glasses on for this one and would probably hear no wrongs for it. I rewatched it. I still laughed a lot. If it was like, well, does it hold up today? I don't know. And I honestly don't care because I was laughing and that's all that matters to me. Buddy, when was the first time you saw it and how do you feel now?
I'm about to wrinkle your brain. The first time I ever saw this movie from start to finish was today.
What?
Yeah.
It's not.
What?
So for context, our Dylan, he has only ever watched it once and he's a Kevin Smith fan too. And that was in my lounge room about a month ago.
See, I've been to places, whenever this came out, 2001. So during school, I would have been, around people's places, and this movie would have been on, and it would have been bits and pieces here and there. So I remember so many of the scenes, from like the Scream cameo. Of course, I remember that, and probably the first half when they go on the road trip or whatever. But for sitting
the whole
down,
movie,
stuff,
but.
Hey?
That's the whole movie, really.
Well, yeah, well.
Until they hit Hollywood, which is.
Yeah, from start to finish, I've probably never actually watched. I've watched bits and pieces. So I think I've seen the movie bits and pieces compilated across the years, but actually watching in one complete viewing today was the day.
You're blowing my mind quite a lot because I'm like, you never told us this at all before we did this.
Because I wanted to see if I could slip it in.
I'm so fucking confused how you watch all the other ones but not this one.
Yeah, so am I.
Okay, well, literally as someone who's watching it for the first time, you don't have the window tint, the glasses I've got on for it. Yeah, so you're watching a 2001 comedy that's very much of a 2001 comedy. And how'd it work in 2019?
Yeah, very dated. It was, look, I understand that it's a product of its time and it definitely like feels like it fits in the Kevin Smith Viewerskew universe. But yeah, it more felt like a greatest hits.
Well, that's 100% movie. What it's supposed to be fair.
Yeah.
Like it's the the finish lap. You know, it's the let's celebrate them all. And what other characters, if and we'll talk about how this is supposed to be the ending chapter after this. But it's like this is supposed to be the ending chapter, and what other characters would we end this universe with than the characters that are in all of the movies? And let's just, you know, you can't do a really serious movie with Jane Silent Bob as your protagonist, so we'll just do a make fun of Hollywood type joke movie, and it's, yeah.
I think I'd never really given it the time of day, like, to sit down and watch this thing from the parts that I'd seen, because I'd always seen it as just a silly throwaway compared to some of the other movies. Like Jane Silent Bob in their own movie, I'm like, great. Well, all the other movies that I've seen with Kevin Smith in it, they've only been a bit part. And I know they reference this in the movie, like, oh, they won't be able to carry a whole movie themselves. And that's probably why I'd never kind of gave it the time of day, like prioritized checking it out. And just seeing bits and pieces, I felt like I'd already seen it all, just not at the same time over the years.
But did you find it funny or not? Or was you like, eh?
Some of it was funny. This very early on, the stuff that really killed the humor for it was the sound effects in the background, like boing or little visual, you know, little sound effects that we used to kind of that very old style humor, like something, you know, like I can't even pinpoint.
It's to add the cartoony comic book nature.
Yeah, the cartoony type stuff, and I felt like the jokes themselves could have really landed if they didn't have that in the background. I'm, you know, hearing some of these jokes, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But then the effects, I'm like, in myself, I'm just like cringing. I'm like, oh, you didn't really. I know this is slapstick, but, you know, Mallrats kind of had this similar type of humor, and they didn't rely on those little effects, and it kind of took it out of being a bit grounded, as much as a Jay and Silent Bob movie can be grounded a little bit.
What the hell? Excuse me, who's watching these babies?
The fat one's watching the little one.
Oh, nice parent. Leave him out here like that and see what happens.
Yo, fuck you, you fucking square!
Keep on trucking.
Did you hear that fucking guy tell me how to fucking raise you? Motherfucker, man. Who does he fucking think he is? What's the worst fucking thing that can happen to you? Stand in front of a fucking store, right? Fuck. 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 Fuck.
Fuck. Fuck. Fuck. Mother, motherfuck. Mother, motherfuck. Fuck. Motherfuck. Motherfuck.
How did you... watching it for the first time, how did you feel about all the cameos and casting and stuff? You know, be that Will Ferrell to Mark Hamill and whoever else. Like, did you know about all of the people that are in this one? Or?
Yeah, I knew Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, and I'd seen those parts before. I hadn't seen Will Ferrell in it before.
Oh, really?
So that must be in the chunk that I'd missed in that bit there.
Yeah, because this is... Well, as I said, I'm 12. I'm watching this is the first movie I ever saw Will Ferrell in. Mm. Like, this is my entry Will Ferrell point. And I'm happy to say that he's continued to play the exact same character that I saw in this movie in every other movie ever.
Mm. Yep.
Still to this day.
Pretty close.
Ryan, when was the first time you watched it? And
tell you exactly where. I remember it was my friend Nick's place. He lived down the road from me. He was a year older than me. It would have been about 2002. He brought it over on VHS, and we watched it in his place. And the first thing I remember, because I was like, what, 11 at the time? 2002 would have been 12, actually.
12. No way you're 11 if I'm like 12.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been, I don't know. Yeah, it would have been 12. How old are you, Dill?
Well, I'm 92.
I am 91, so... No, I'm trying to base my time. Like, it would have been like just after it came out on. It would have to be just after it came out on VHS. I remember watching it. I remember being like, "This is so full of swears. This is so bright and colorful. This is amazing." And that's pretty much what I took from it at the time. And I enjoyed this being 12. I enjoyed the slapsticky nature of it. In hindsight. It's better now that I know, like, once I learned all the cameos and what it all meant and who these characters were and different references, like, you know, like something like the, you know, like the shit in your cereal line. I didn't realize it was a throwback until, you know, years later.
Oh, nearly all of it's throwbacks. Yeah. Like, once you, and I think you pick up more of it if you watch them this close to one another, yeah. I think, or something. But yeah. All right. So, we're talking a lot about the comedy of this movie, and I do think that's important discussion for this one, because this movie doesn't really have a, you know, we're Chasing Amy, we're talking about more deep stuff. You know, we're talking about even Clerks has more deeper stuff than it. This one is just a straight up comedy. And I think this one and Mallrats are obviously the two most of the VSQ universe that I think are the most just straight up comedies without any sort of motive of anything else outside that. You could also count in Kevin Smith's filmography, Cop Out and Zack and Miri probably also being the other two that are like the most paint by numbers, like appeal to general audience comedies, I guess. And like, that's 100% what he was trying to do with Cop Out. And that didn't work out so well for him, but you know, that's probably a discussion for another time. But I'm willing to say if the jokes in this movie came out today, I would be like, nah. But that's why I don't think there's anything wrong with viewing comedies with that, like those glasses, what it roast tinted glasses, mm-hmm. whatever the saying is on. I can admit this is one, and there's probably some other ones like there's some really bad jokes in like Police Academy, like
oh my god,
misogynistic stuff or whatever. I still laugh,
dude.
I'm willing to admit I still laugh.
There's a particular line in cause I went back and watched Police Academy not too long ago, and yeah, a lot of it's like, ooh, this is so very super 80s. But then the exact moment where I went, whoa, what the fuck, was when Hightower wakes up Mahoney and he goes, oh yeah, sleeping's for, you know, and I was like, fuck, with a racial slur for gay people. And I was like, get the fuck out. Who's blurts that shit in a movie?
Well, they do in the 80s. That's
really caught me off guard. Like even all the Blue Oyster Bar stuff, I'm like, but like that, for some reason, that was the point. And speaking of gay humor, there is a lot of gay humor in this movie too.
There is, and yeah, so I mean, that's one. I remember when looking through for reviews from when this came out, that was one thing that a lot of people brought up, and a lot of people had problems with. And Kevin Smith was kind of vocal about being like, "Look, my brother's gay. I'm just writing characters, and this is the way that." Those characters would speak, I guess.
And there's always those jokes he makes at stand-ups. He's like, you know, he's literally seconds away from turning at any point.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing because I don't think, like if we're going to look at Jane Silent Bob Reboot, I don't think that movie will have anything. No, I don't think that movie will have any gay jokes or gay puns or like be like, oh, you say F word, you know, like whatever, like this. And that's because I think, that's another example of kind of him growing as a person somewhat, because although I don't, obviously he was never out to, he wasn't making gay jokes maliciously. He was being like, I'm writing a character and this is how people speak at the time, which is true. Like people did speak like that. But I think he, as a writer director has now grown to the point where he's like, but also I don't actually need to write characters like that and kind of, help put that out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's like just kind of him growing as a person. But how do you feel about watching comedies like this, old comedies? Because this is, as I'm saying, one I can watch rose tinted glasses, be like, yeah, that's got some problems, problematic jokes or whatever else. Do you have stuff like that, buddy? Are there stuff that you watched when you were younger that you can't watch now because you're like, eh?
Not really, no. There would definitely be things that I would cringe about. I know I had a story when I was at home, you know, a couple months ago, and they were playing Harriet the Spy, and I'm watching Harriet the Spy, this, you know, kids movie that I'd watched when I was younger, and Harriet, you know, she comes off as the bad person because she has the burn book, that everyone finds it, and she's using the word retarded as the thing, and I'm like, you're actually the villain in this! Oh my god! but there's, it's funny to look back at the movies like that and even this with the use of homophobic slurs in there. I always, it's definitely cringy to hear it and you just kind of, it's sometimes it's a little bit of a chuckle and so I'm like, phew, man, imagine that coming out into a movie now. But in most cases, I can understand that the movie is a product of its time and kind of let it slide if that makes, without, you know, it depends how far it goes, really. Like, I watch a lot of older movies, and a lot of the 80s movies are really bad for it. And a lot
really,
of their,
really, really bad.
and a lot of, like, those high school movies, like brokering on no consent when they're going after women and kind of having that as an angle. And it's really like, ooh, Jesus, is this how it was? Is this what it was like or whatever? So it definitely toes a line, but I guess understanding where it is and where it was at the time has a lot to do with it as well. I know we were discussing the other day about the American Pie movies and whether they would be funny now or whether you could watch them now. Maybe not, and maybe that's not because of the humor that's inappropriate, but maybe that's because we're all past that humor now, I guess.
As I'm like thinking about it, as bringing it up now, my light bulb moment is, because I did say like I can't watch American Pie. I don't find American Pie very funny anymore. I think the big difference between those movies and these ones and me giving these ones a pass for having some homophobic jokes or whatever is context, and the context is actually the writer, director behind the camera, because I've know Kevin Smith, I don't know him personally, but you know, like we know him more so than insert people that worked on American Pie and whatever else, because he does a million and one podcasts and whatever else. And you know that he's not actually homophobic. You know he's anything but homophobic. So I think with that, like subconsciously, I can kind of watch all this stuff with that in mind. Yeah. And that's why it kind of makes me not turn a blind eye, but if instead of just being like, oh, that's real bad, I'm just like, that's interesting. But at the same time, I'm not going to get angry about it because I know that Kevin Smith doesn't actually like hate. And I know that, yeah, it's probably just playing in the back of my mind.
It's so funny. So, some of those movies that you kind of know are a bit problematic or not, I wouldn't say problematic, but very dated in where they would sit now, just don't really seek them out. Like looking at something like American Pie, it's like, would I want to watch that now? Would I seek watching that out? I'm like, no, I saw it then and that was the time I watched it and now I just don't care about it or anything like that. Yeah. So,
and I remember when I watched whatever the, was it Reunion? Was
I haven't seen one? Reunion. I didn't get that far. See,
I went and watched it in the cinema and I don't think I laughed once. It was just like a lot of those movies where it was like the comedy is just trying to be the exact same and it doesn't work anymore.
Saying that though, with the American Reunion, I watched it. It was on Netflix. So I watched it recently. Being like a parent, because a lot of the jokes are in that new one is about them now being like parents, that sort of stuff. So that humor kind of lands about what it's like to be a parent. But in terms of when they try to rehash that older material, not so much.
Yeah, the movie that happened to me was Harold and Kumar. Number 2, Guantanamo Bay, and I saw that in the cinema with me and my friends, and we were big Harold and Kumar fans, and then we saw the second one in cinemas and like, damn, the humor has changed. Is this what the kids are into these days? Fuck.
Yeah, I haven't watched either for ages, but I remember, what's the first one? Go to White Castle or whatever. It's like, yeah, that comes out really, really funny. Guantanamo Bay was not quite so funny. Was there nearly 10 years difference between those?
Yeah, something like that. So it's funny because I guess we'll address that with Clerks and the difference between Clerks 1 and Clerks 2 next week.
Difference of stuff. Yeah, that's for sure. So Ryan, how do you view these movies then? With old ones, can you watch comedies roast into glasses? Do you feel like you have to watch this roast into glasses? How do you feel about the thing was discussed with? What I'm saying about Kevin Smith, like context matters for some of these jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think the big thing here is, as you think, context is the key here. Like none of the jokes here are malicious in any intent. And you can tell that just in how they're delivered for one. Like there's no, it is of its time in terms of this is how people spoke, but there's just no, like, I can't think of the right term, like, vindictiveness, I guess. There's, like, no one's, like, been getting their ass stomped and then being called gay, you know what I mean? Like, it's different. It's somehow different. But I think that's probably me trying to reconcile it in my head for the same, you know, having the glasses. I'm like, well, at least this didn't happen, right? But, yeah, I do try to look at older movies and older series through that reasonable lens of this is what happened at that time. Like you can't change what this movie was. Times have changed, but that movie stays the same. So yeah, for that reason, some of these things don't really land. But yeah, it's still kind of funny. It's this weird line. Like in terms of humor, as you mentioned, like humor's changed over time. Dick and fart jokes are still funny. You know, and I'm like a 30-year-old dude and I'll still laugh at fart jokes all the time. So I think there's, I think the way this movie is written, it does revolve around that baseline humor, as Buddy said, that like that slapsticky humor, and I think that kind of hits at a primordial part of our brain. It's kind of just feels good to hear people farting.
I would, yeah. It's like if a comedy, if any of these sorts of comedies come out these days, I'm usually not a big fan of them because I've seen it all before. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like everyone has at least one or a couple of like just childish humor that work. Like, you're like, that's it. That's, I just need these couple movies that are just general childish humor stuff. And like, this movie is one of them for me. But then I go watch like whatever Adam Sandler or Apatow thing. I don't know, like whatever comes out these days, all the sequels to Anchorman or whatever they put out, like all that stuff. I just sit there and I'm like, I don't find any of this funny anymore. Like, is it me or is it the movie? Like, what's the
problem with this? I think, especially with Jay and Sambal, I think there's a heart to it. And I think that's what you're sort of getting at here is like, you know, there's something about it that it exceeds that. Like, the same reason I love Superbad, right? Superbad is, in most things, gross. But there is such an underlying heart in that movie. And I feel Jay and Silent Bob is the same because they are essentially two, like, stupid just dorks just running around the country. And I think in terms of their story, that's why, like, Justice is drawn to Jay because he's just so innocent, as she said.
The big thing for me is not about the heart, but the relatability. And that's why Superbad is a hit for me.
Yeah.
And that's why some of the other Kevin Smith movies that I really enjoyed are always those more grounded, relatable stuff, like even More Rats. You know, there's still that love story there, the chasing Amy, you know, even Clerks as a retail worker and kind of being in that kind of environment as well. Anything like that, that's where I find it still hits.
So you're telling me the Justice and Jay romance didn't work for you?
Didn't work for me, no.
Well, it's not like it's a bad thing. I mean, it's for a good cause.
Oh, it's for the best cause, Marjorie. The cause of love. Snoogans.
What the heck is that?
What's what?
Snoogans, I believe it was.
What the fuck do you think it means? It means I'm kidding.
Oh. Well, that's too bad.
A lot of the, as I said, I was going over some of the reviews from back when this came out. And some of the stuff people were calling out was the girls, like how they're these, you know, they put on the black skinny suits. They're supposed to be, I don't know if it's supposed to be like Black Widow or Charlie's Angels or something inspired, I guess. But a lot of people had problems with it, I guess. I viewing it, knowing that his wife, Jennifer Schwalbach, is one of the girls, I simply view it as literally him at, Kevin Smith just being like, I just want to make my wife be a sexy, like super spy type chick or something in a movie. And that's it. I think that is totally the basis behind the whole thing. Like, I think it's as simple as that. Do you have any, like, Buddy, do you have any thoughts on the girls, or do you think?
Yeah, I think it was just like a Charlie's Angel. Like, the whole, you know, the whole movie is ripping on pop culture references and, you know, the Good Will Hunting 2 and all that kind of stuff. And being so self-aware, even to the point where they're breaking the fourth wall and looking at the camera. So to have characters like that in the movie, I definitely think it's just another take on, like, you know, Charlie's Angels or anything like that, like this kind of stereotype. So I didn't see it as like a let's make him look hot and inappropriate. It's just like, here's these hot women chick, and we've seen them in Charlie's Angels and all, you know, spy movies and Entrapment and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Let's do it.
Entrapment would be 2 years before this or something, I think, too.
I agree. I think it's just swerving into the comic book nature of what they're trying to make. Like, they do fit comic book stereotypes, you know? It was like that secret spy, you know, laser lights flipping and shit and walking in unison and stuff like that.
You're almost waiting for a pow!
Yeah, pretty much.
Pow!
Yeah.
To pop up on the screen.
I gotta say, that you're walking in unison shot... That shit's not easy.
It's not easy. It is not easy.
You try and get a bunch of people to do that.
I did Army Reserves, and boy, I've seen some people that can't march.
Or wear leather like that.
And they were disciplined. Yeah, no, we didn't wear leather at the Army.
It's the problem with the Army. That's how they're not getting as many people they want these days.
Change the uniforms.
Change the uniform. I love it. They'll solve problems. All right. So what is everyone's favorite moment, scene, or whatever from this movie then? Mine, as childish as it may sound, is that I'm the clit commander scene.
I am the master of the clit. Remember this fucking face. Wherever you see clit, you'll see this fucking face. I make that shit work. No one rules a clit like me. Not this little fuck. None of you little fucks out there. I am the clit commander.
This is 12-year-old Dylan's, like, I even watching it again a couple days ago before this, I'm still just like...
It is it's just like, it's fake confidence personified.
It is just, it's such a silly joke. Like, but I think it just carries through because I laugh when he's originally doing it, knowing how funny it is. But then I also laugh when Will Ferrell's there and it's such a silly, just like slapsticky type joke where it's like very seriously, like the click, that's whatever.
They're
stands
like,
for.
Oh, it's an offshoot of the labia, the liberating age before imprisoning age.
Yeah, it's an offshoot of the labia. Like, it's such a silly joke, but for whatever reason, like, I remember laughing so much when I was young watching it, and it's stuck with me. Every single time I rewatch this movie, I just laugh again, especially how confident Jay is with it. I am the clit commander. I rule the clit. It just makes me laugh. Also, I want to shout out, I did note here, I want to shout out the line, man, I don't know what the fuck you just said, little kid.
That's my
pick. Touch my heart.
Every time I giggle, every time, that was going to be my pick, is Tracy Morgan. Because, like, you see him standing there against the wall like he's just being rocked. So, and he's like, look, I don't know what the fuck you just said,
little kid. But you're special, man.
Yeah.
You reached out and you touched it by the heart.
It's just Tracy Morgan's delivery, I think, that sells that whole thing.
But, like, Tracy
thing.
Morgan's character, like, give me the map, Scott. Give me the map, Scott!
Is that what you're gonna take that as your pick?
That was that was gonna be one of my big ones, but I have, like, that movie for me is just like, I love it. Like, Sean William Scott singing his song about rabbits, you know, the whole sheep fucker thing. There's just so much in this movie that still kind of just makes me chuckle out of nowhere. Like, that, obviously, of course, the opening song is a big win every time.
I
can sit here and list every single one as my favorite. So I'm gonna let Buddy go, and then I'll see whatever's left.
Yeah, Buddy's fresh though.
Yeah, it's true.
One time viewing. What's your favorite part?
It's actually a scene I'd already seen before, so it's still the same scene. Fucking Miramax,
Miramax cut.
Shannon, I usually say cut.
A monkey, Wes? Jesus. I mean, Jesus, you guys aren't even trying anymore, are you?
What? The market research says people love monkeys.
We love this monkey! We love this monkey!
I love how it's actually Wes as well. Yeah. Like, such a good cameo.
So good. And, you know, I love the Scream franchise. Scream 1 is in my top 5 movies of all time and means a lot to me. So to, you know, see them on the set of Scream and be a throwback to kind of their little cameo in Scream 3. It's pretty funny.
If that was your pull, in that case, Chris Rock in general was brilliant in this. So George looks about to sue somebody. and just like, you know, how does your dad feel knowing that you get it his coffee? Is there boogers in it? Drink that booger flavor.
I will admit, so I had trouble picking for this one.
It's too,
because
it's too hard.
It's there are so many. I will 100% admit, when I discovered around this age, when I watched this movie, another big movie I watched around a similar time, or maybe it was a year later, I'm not actually sure, was everyone's high school favorite, Euro Trip, right?
Oh, yeah.
Probably doesn't know, of course.
That movie does not hold up.
Era.
No. But there was one thing in that movie that I loved, which is when he gets the email and his mail notification is,
Mail, motherfucker.
Yeah.
That was my back on my old Polyphonic ringtone Motorola Razr. That was my ringtone for like 4 years.
Well, I remember watching that and being like, how do you get your computer to make like custom notifications? So then I looked up how to do it, and then I set everything on my computer. So everything had a custom sound because it was like discovering a playgroup. Suddenly I discovered I could like open a program makes a sound, open Windows makes a sound, close program makes a sound.
That's so I downloaded all these computer ever.
It was, but I mean, it was on my user profile. So like, you know, because you had different logins, logs outs, what if this was the Windows XP or whatever. So I downloaded a million and one different quotes and scenes from Jane Silent Bob Strike Back. And that was my entire computer plus the one male motherfucker from Eurotrip, which was my male notification thing. And all my computer did was for everything, it would just play Jane Silent Bob Strike Back fucking clips for everything I did. And I did not get bored of it. So I had everything. I had Sean Williams, the song he's singing. I had that play for some point. I had all the, I had Fuck, Fuck, Fuck song playing at some point as well. I don't even know where they all linked up. But yeah, it was my first time I remember discovering and working out how to download scenes from the internet. And this was actually a lot hard. These days I'll just go on YouTube. It's pretty fucking easy. Back then I think I was downloading the scenes through fucking BitTorrent or something actually, and then working out how to rip the audio and then cut the audio down into like 2-3 second scenes or whatever I wanted, and then setting them as all these notification sounds and stuff. Yeah, that's some memories. That's what it is. That's some memories. Yeah. Okay, so I do want to point out for this movie, you kind of mentioned it before, buddy, but so I never appreciated, obviously the first time I was watching this, the fact that this movie has both Mark Hamill using a lightsaber, kind of basically using a lightsaber. And it also has Carrie Fisher in it. The first time they were, they didn't have a scene together, but they are in a movie together. And I think kind of you can look back and I'm like, I wasn't old enough to appreciate at the time, obviously, but I'd like to think if I had, if this came out now or something like that, or I was older back then, this would have made me flip my mind, just having those two obviously in those parts. And it really is just like, cementing, I guess, how Kevin Smith starts his career with Clerks, with these Star Wars conversations and stuff, you know, like as we talked about, Max Danny's credit card, you know, Joe Schmo over here fucking just working out how to make an indie movie. And then basically 10 years later, he's reuniting leads, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, to put in his movie. I just think it's like such a, you can look at everything for his success from like, money, whatever. I don't care. I'm like, the fact that he's movie star and you can tell he's such a Star Wars fan, and then he gets to put the fucking people from Star Wars in his movies later, that like represents something to me. And then it also got me wondering, what do we think the odds are on Mark Hamill showing up in Jay and Silent Bob reboot? And then I also think if he does show up, it's just going to have me thinking in the cinema how sad it is that he's back, but obviously Carrie Fisher wouldn't be in it.
I think it's likely. Because they're bros, and because I think Kevin Conroy's in there at some point, I think. But can we, you know, I know you're praising Kevin with that little bit of a, you know, like, look at her, he's come. Can we just praise, like, Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher for being willing to, you know, come in a movie, and, like, they have prestige, and they're like, what's your character? You are Cock Knocker? And you are going to be a character that is referred to as the Hairy Bush Nun.
Yeah.
Like, and they're like,
and Jay is going to go down on you.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, okay, sweet. sign me. Where do I sign? Like, come on. That's amazing.
She has such a good, I love her. She's so serious with the thing. I follow the book.
You follow the book too?
Yeah, of course. I lead my whole life on it. Like, once again, it's such a silly joke because it's like she's a nun, she's talking about the Bible. Such a silly joke, but it works for me. It just makes me laugh. What do you put your odds out here for Mark Hamill in reboot, buddy?
Yeah, very high. He'll absolutely be in it. And maybe Carrie Fisher will be in there as a Force ghost. Who knows? yeah. Maybe Carrie Fisher's daughter will be in it.
Oh, that would be too cool.
That would be a good actual thing.
And maybe have a scene. Maybe have a scene with Mark Hamill.
Don't cry. Don't do that.
That's probably going to be.
Well, I was about to say they can't do it in Star Wars. So maybe this is the movie they can they can do it for. Yeah.
You don't think Luke's coming back in Episode 9 as a Force ghost?
I mean, if he is a Force
ghost,
he's
casted for it.
He's going to show up as a Force ghost, but he's not going to interact with Carrie Fisher's daughter.
Sure. She might. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the mishap they had there. If spoilers for Episode 8, if Luke hadn't have died, then they could have actually had those two characters interact as a nod for like everyone to appreciate for Carrie and stuff, but they can't actually do that. So they could do it in this movie though. And then the last thing to talk about for this episode was this was actually supposed to be the end of the Viewersk universe. God shows up herself in the after credit scene right at the very end of the movie. She literally closes a book. It says the end, closes the book. Top of the book says Vyorsky Universe, and then she jollies off into the background as God does in these movies. So, but I mean, spoilers. We have Clerks 2 to talk about next week, and then of course we've got Jane Silent Bob reboot coming up. So this wasn't actually the end of this series of movies. Do you think it would this had would this have been a good place to actually end it? Or do you think it's smart that A, he did Clerks 2, and B, he's actually coming back for reboot? Like, because what world is viewing this as six movies good?
Because I have so much love and praise for Clerks 2, no. Because I'd be sad if that movie didn't exist. And plus, like, even in the self, if you look at the book, when they put the bookmark of the end, there is a big hunk of pages left, whether that was intentional or not.
Nah, went back in a special edition, CGI'd those extra pages in. Buddy, what do you reckon?
It would have closed it off nicely because of the compilation type best of greatest hits feel that the movie has.
Yeah.
But in saying that, it's fine bringing Clerks 2 back in and having, I guess, a reboot, have another compilation type movie, close it out again. So yeah. I'm hoping Alanis Morissette is in that one also.
At this stage, I'm presuming everyone's in that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of just at that stage. The whole, I don't know what the plot of the movie is. It's just literally scene after scene with cameos at this point, which is kind of what Jane Silent Bob Strike Back was.
Yeah,
the
plot of reboot is literally they are the rebooting Blunt Man and Chronic, and they need to go and stop it again.
Except for now they've got more characters to throw in from other stuff and more geek culture stuff to front, because spoiler alert, for the last 10 to 15 years we've had way more geek, like nerdy geek culture type stuff that they can reference and stuff. Cool, so that'll be it for this week's episode of Radio Movies. Please be sure to pick up your trash when leaving your area. You can find Buddy Watson over at dashgamer.com or on the Dash Culture podcast, talking pop culture, movies, and gaming every fortnight. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at BuddyWatson12. You can find Ryan Betson over at youtube.com/thepopculturist, talking old things PlayStation, on For the Players, and wrestling on The Young and the Wrestlers. And you can follow him on Twitter at HaggardMC. And you can find myself right here on ExplosionNetwork.com on one of our movies, games, TV podcasts like Arcade Culture, What Do You Want to Watch? And you can follow me on Twitter at VivaLadil, VivaLadil. Please be sure to review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening if you can review stuff there. And I'm not even going to say if you want to anymore. Let's just say, just tweet at Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes and tell them when the fuck is Jane Silent Bob reboot coming to Australia. If it's not coming out anytime soon, you can email or slide into my Twitter DMs and send me a copy of the movie. That'll be much appreciated. Thank you very much, Kevin, Mr. Smith, whatever you want me to call you, sir. Thank you. Stitchy Boochies.
Keep on trucking.
If the buzz is any indicator, that movie's going to make some huge bank. What buzz? The internet buzz. What the fuck is the internet? The internet is a communication tool used the world over, where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.